Interlude 14. Teft. Teft could function. You learned how to do that, how to cling to the normal parts of your life so that people wouldn't be too worried, so that you wouldn't be too undependable. He stumbled sometimes, that eroded trust, to the point where it was hard to keep telling himself that he could handle it. He knew deep down that he'd end up alone again. The men of Bridge 4 would tire of digging him out of trouble. But for now, Teft functioned. He nodded to Mulata, who was working the Oath Gate, then led his men across the platform and down the ramp toward Urethiru. They were a subdued group. Few grasped the meaning of what they'd learned, but they all sensed that something had changed. Made perfect sense to Teft. It couldn't be easy now, could it? Not in his storming life. A winding path through corridors and a stairwell led them back toward their barracks. As they walked, a woman appeared in the hallway beside Teft, roughly his height, glowing with soft blue-white light. Storming Spren. He pointedly did not look at her.
"You have words to speak, Teft," she said in his mind.
"Storm you," he muttered.
"You have started on this path. When will you tell the others the oaths you have sworn?"
"I didn't."
She turned away from him suddenly, becoming alert, looking down the corridor toward the Bridge 4 barracks.
"What?"
Teft stopped.
"Something wrong?"
"Something is very wrong. Run quickly, Teft."
He charged out in front of the men, causing them to shout after him. He scrambled to the door into their barracks and threw it open. The scent of blood immediately assaulted him. The Bridge 4 common room was in shambles, and blood stained the floor. Teft shouted, rushing through the room to find three corpses near the back. He dropped his spear and fell to his knees beside Rock, Bissick, and Eth.
"Still breathing," Teft thought, feeling at Rock's neck. "Still breathing. Remember Kaladin's training, you fool? Check the others," he shouted as more bridgemen joined him.
He pulled off his coat and used it on Rock's wounds. The Horn-Eater was sliced up good, a half-dozen cuts that looked like they'd come from a knife.
"Bissig's alive," Pete called. "Though, Storms, that's a shard-blade wound."
"Eth,"
Lopin said, kneeling beside the third body.
"Storms."
Teft hesitated. Eth had been the one carrying the honor blade today.
"Dead." "They came for the blade," he realized.
Huyo, who was better at field medicine than Teft, took over ministering to Rock. Blood on his hands, Teft stumbled back.
"We need Renarin," Pete said. "It's Rock's best chance."
"But where did he go?"
Lynn said.
"He was at the meeting but left."
She looked toward Lauren, one of the other former messengers, fastest among them.
"Run for the guard post. They should have a span rate to contact the Oath Gate."
Lauren dashed out of the room. Nearby, Bissig groaned. His eyes fluttered open. His entire arm was gray and his uniform had been sliced through.
"Bissig," Pete asked. "Storms, what happened?"
Thought it was one of us," Bissig muttered.
"I didn't really look until he attacked."
He leaned back, groaning, closing his eyes.
"He had on a bridgeman coat."
"Stormfather,"
Layton said.
"Did you see the face?"
Bissig nodded.
"Nobody I recognize. A short man, Alethi. Bridge 4 coat. Lieutenant's knots on the shoulder."
Lopin nearby frowned, then glanced toward Teft. A Bridge 4 officer's coat worn as a disguise. Teft's coat, which he'd sold weeks ago in the market, to get a few spheres. He stumbled back as they hovered around Rock and Bissig, then fled through a falling patch of shame spren into the hallway outside.